all right, turn to me with your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 this morning. My church is texting me every day now. Pastor Kevin, we miss you. Please come back, you know. And so I'm anxious to get back on November the 17th. I'll be leaving here on Monday night or Tuesday morning. I got to double check my ticket. Or Tuesday morning, get back to Maine on Tuesday night. And then I got to be in Oklahoma on Saturday afternoon. So I'll be traveling, driving the whole distance. I got 240,000 miles on my old van now, and she's still running. Amen. And it takes a licking and keeps on ticking. And so I'm thankful to be that. But I am saddle worn, and I'm tired of traveling, living out of suitcase. I missed my wife on this particular trip, and I'm anxious to get back to Florida, pick up my family, and head back to the Philippines. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Please stand this morning to honor the Word of God. If you got your Bibles again, raise it up high. Let me see your Bibles this morning. Amen and amen. All right. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And we're going to read just one verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 10. If you're there, say a hearty amen. And by the way, I've also enjoyed thoroughly the fellowship with these dear missionary brothers. And I enjoyed that. Yesterday we went up to Flat Top Mountain, and I was so embarrassed. Everybody passing me, you know, and I'm the old man lagging behind, you know, these other missionaries, they're running up there to the top like that, you know. And I'm 50 now. I'm not young as I used to be, amen. And it's embarrassing, man. Brother McDonald, he just goes and goes and goes, and, you know, doesn't slow down. I wish I had that energy, but when he turns 50, let's see how he is then, amen. We'll see, amen. All right, verse number 10, the Bible says here, "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago." Let us pray. Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for Pastor Terry. Thank you for these wonderful people. And I pray, Father, you might bless the last day of the missions conference. Thankful, Lord, I'm so thankful these dear missionaries. God's called them to go. They sacrificed so much to get to the mission field. And thank you, Father, also for these dear people already have got a heart for missions. And I pray that you might do a miracle this day and raise up the funds. I pray that every missionary here will be able to take it on for support and get to the field in a timely manner to do your will. And again, bless me as I preach today. Give me clarity of thought and slowness of speech. And Lord, have your will. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. Here the Apostle Paul. He's in Corinth, or he's writing to Corinth. Now, Paul had went to Corinth on his second missionary journey, and he writes them two letters, and this is one of the second letters, or the second letter that he wrote, the Apostle Paul. And most of this 2 Corinthians is really the Apostle Paul defending his apostleship, if you will. And before, there were people coming to the churches like Apollos, who were tremendous speakers. They were great orators and great men of God. But people began to compare Paul with Apollos and began to pick sides, if you will. And so Paul had to deal with those things, plus the fact of immorality and other things concerning missions with this particular church. But here in chapter 8, Paul begins to write them concerning the subject of missions. Now, Paul had been there earlier, about a year before, and the year before, these people had been challenged about the area of missions and had made a faith promise commitment, if you will. But during that time, they had dropped their burden for missions, and they were more focused inward on the people, if you will, as opposed to obeying the Lord concerning worldwide missions. So Paul comes back and he writes them, and he challenges them and shows them the importance of them getting involved in missions because they just were not doing anything. And my friend, it's no different back then than it is today. Today, a lot of churches are more focused inward than they are focused on obeying the Lord and getting missionaries around the world. I was just recently in a church, my wife just recently contacted me, and she said, "We have a church that may be dropping us very soon." And I said, "Why?" And this church has been supporting us since 1997, early 98. And she said, "Well, they just had their missions conference, and they had a missionary from Iceland, an ex-military guy, Air Force, come down there and attend the conference. They asked him to come, and during the entire conference, he was the only one there, and they would not let him present his ministry. They would not let him show the slides. They would not let him report in the pulpit. He was just there, and he wondered why they even asked him to come. And then at the end of the conference that week, the pastor came forward and told the people that we're going in a new direction in our missions program. And we're now no longer going to support missionaries traditionally that are going abroad, but we're now going to take all of our missions money and use it to support team trips to go to the mission field." And so that's kind of a new thing that's going around now where it's all inward for us, and as opposed to fulfilling the Great Commission and supporting missionaries around the world. And so Paul had that same burden. So Paul begins to write a letter to them, and Paul reminds them here. He says here, go back to verse number 10, he says, "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago." And so the word "for" there means zealous and taking the missions project a year ago. And so Paul says right here, he says it's absolutely expedient. And so I want to emphasize here this morning the absolute importance that we as Baptists, as independent Baptists, as Christians, that we continue or start getting involved in the area of worldwide evangelization. Now, the word expedient here in the Bible, it means beneficial, it means profitable, and it means advantageous. And so what Paul is telling this church, this very wealthy church with a lot of talent, Paul is telling them that it's very beneficial, it's very profitable, and it's very advantageous that you start giving to missions, and you're not been giving, and you need to start getting involved with them. And here again, the idea means it's profitable. The fact is, the good news, and we learned already in the book of Philippians, that Paul writes to them, who was given faithful to missions, that whenever he went abroad and began to plant churches, that all of that fruit that was abounding, as Paul was planting churches, was abounding to the church there in Philippi. So the fruit that he was bearing, if you will, was also abounding to their account, that those who were giving. And so as Paul won souls, if you will, then all of that was abounding to their account, and God's going to bless them in the end. Some people say, "Pastor Kevin, I'm struggling, you know, and I don't have very much. You know, I don't have what other people have, and I'm giving in this missions program, if you will, and it's so hard and so tough." My friend, listen, the reward has not yet come. Be patient. Amen? One day we will stand before the Lord, and God shall reward us eternally, not with things that shall bear to get rust and a thief can steal and things that would disappear, but things that would be eternal in the heavens above, rewards for those who faithfully obey the Lord and give and support missions. Amen? So this morning, I want to do something different than your average preaching on the missions conference. This morning, I want to look at one of the greatest missionary outside of Christ, the Apostle Paul, and let us look at his salvation and his calling and his ministry and him going to plant churches and follow the timeline of the Apostle Paul. And so we can see how important or how expedient, as Paul mentioned here, it is for missionaries or for local churches to get involved in supporting missionaries. And I do believe if we go through this this timeline and see Paul as he progresses, it'll begin to open up our eyes of how essential it is for churches to get involved in missions. Amen? This morning we'll do that as sort of a teaching lesson this morning, and through that we'll begin to see it and again to challenge us. And this morning, if you're not involved with missions at all, maybe you're a new member of the church, maybe this morning it'll begin to open up your eyes and see biblically why we do what we do. To see biblically why the pastor is really pushing this big missions conference every year and challenging us in the area of reaching souls, in the area of giving above their tithe in this area of missions. And so if you don't know about that yet, maybe today you get a good basic Bible lesson on that. Or number two, if you maybe slacked off as a member, and maybe this morning God can also challenge you to get back involved and continue as you did before. Now, first of all, go back to your Bible. Let's start with the Apostle Paul. And first of all, let us look at Paul getting saved. Go back to your Bible to Acts chapter 9 this morning. Acts chapter 9. Everybody turn your Bible to Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, here we have Paul getting saved. And look at chapter 9, verse number, Acts chapter 9. I'm in the book of Romans, the one I didn't recognize. Okay, Acts chapter 9, verse number 1. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. Are you there? Amen? All right, the Bible says here, it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest." Now here again, this is Paul. And the Bible says, not only is he obviously lost at this time, but the Bible says he is a direct enemy of the people of God. The Bible says he's going out, and the Bible says he's shouting, he's threatening slaughter. Well, what is slaughter? It's a terminology used to kill an animal until they die, until they bleed to death. And so Paul is literally going out and capturing Christians to torture them and to have them to be killed or put into prison. I mean, if there was somebody that was an anti-Christian, we would have to say Paul was an anti-Christian. Amen? Completely lost. Now, the funny thing is, Paul thought what he was doing was the right thing. He thought he was pleasing God as a Pharisee. He thought he was doing that which pleased the Lord. But yet he was absolutely wrong. He had been deceived, if you will. Does that not represent many people before they get saved? Many people that are in cults, many people that are false religions. We have the big Muslim movement today where they're killing people. They say because of Allah, if you will, if you kill a Christian, you got more rewards in heaven. And many of them believe in their heart that what they're doing is right. But they're absolutely wrong. That's what happened with Saul. And so Saul's going out and he's pursuing the believers. And then the Bible says here, go back to your Bible. It says, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he be found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly, the Bible says, there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now remember, Paul was not directly persecuting Christ. He was persecuting the believers. He was the one that was, the believers were the one that were being cast into jail and being persecuted. But whenever Jesus spoke to him, he says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Well, what a great biblical teaching. Whenever somebody gets saved, Jesus Christ comes and lives within them. Amen? It's called the Holy Spirit. He lives within them and he resides there permanently. Praise the Lord for that. Amen? And so he resides in there. That's why whenever a person gets saved, they're changed not on the outside, but they're changed on the inside. Before I got saved, to be honest, I despised coming to church. I did. I would rather get a spanking by my mama or my dad, by a belt or by a sticker switch. I'd rather do all of that than to go to a church on Sunday. I despised it. Why? Because there's nothing in me that wanted me to desire the house of God. But after I got saved, and Christ now lives within me, the hope of glory, now that I got saved, I had suddenly changed, and I wanted to come to church. Amen? Nobody had to beg me to come to the house of God at Faith Independent Baptist Church. Nobody had to have food on that day or have some amazing entertainment program. Because I got saved, old things are passed away. Behold, now all things are become new. Amen? I now had a new hope and a new desire. As I mentioned the other day, somebody that claims to be a Christian, but yet you cannot drag them to church. I wonder if they really had the same Christ in them that I got. Jesus Christ established the New Testament church, and he loves the house of God. He founded it, amen? And then now he lives within us, and so because he lives within us and he desires the house of God, if you're genuinely saved and Christ is in you, if you are saved, you also should desire the house of God, amen? And by the way, let me say something here. You'll never grow as a child of God if you're not faithfully attending a good Bible-believing church. Somebody say amen right there, amen? And so the Bible says here that he began, he says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Could you imagine persecuting God? I mean, people think, you know, I can live the way I want to and I die, you know, if I go to hell and party with my friend. My friend, it's not like that. When a man dies and he's persecuted the people of God, these Muslims that are cutting people's heads off, torturing people, burning people alive, the Bible says they're doing that to God. You think God's not going to just overlook, or God's going to just overlook that whenever they die and reject Christ as Savior? My friend, they will face a judgment of God upon that. That's why how we need to go with them with the Word of God, amen, and teach them about Jesus Christ so that God will save them, amen. Then the Bible says in verse 5, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now the Bible says here, as Paul was going around and doing persecution, even though he was persecuting, and even in the name of God, in his opinion, every time he jailed the Christian, every time he persecuted the Christian, every time he cast him out of town or out of their home, they're running for life, every time that was happening, the Bible says that he was being pricked by God. You know, whenever you go out soul winning, and you go out and confront somebody with the gospel, many times they'll get very rude, do they not? Especially here in Alaska. And, people come all the way to Alaska many times to escape religion down in the lower 48. I've always laughed about Brother Phoenix. You know, but people come way up here to escape religion, you know, and get on their own and live out in the country, way out in the middle of nowhere. They get away from all religion, get away from God. And one day here comes Brother Phoenix on the boat, you know, hey, have you received Christ as your Savior? Oh, man, I tried to get away. Here it is again, you know. But you know, the fact is, the word pricks there is referring to the goad that they used to goad the ox. It was like a long stick. Whenever the ox was plowing, the man would be behind him with a very long stick. And whenever the ox would begin to go the wrong way, he would take that stick and lightly tap the ox and tell the ox, don't go this way or don't go that way, to stay on course. If the ox was hard-headed and wouldn't obey, then they would goad him really hard, sharply, to get him to get back on track. In the Philippines, all of the oxes have rings in their nose. It's kind of the same principle. They can take that ring and pull it this way and make him go to the left, or pull it that way and make him go to the right. Kind of like many of the women do to their husbands today in America. I'm just kidding there. Anyway. And so, a lot of these men today got their rings in their nose. And I wonder, is that the purpose of that ring in their nose? I do not know. But anyway, I digress. So anyway, they were. The Bible says as Paul is going out, and as he is preaching the persecuting the believers, every time he did that, God was speaking to him. God was convicting him, if you will. God out of heaven was reaching down with that long stick and goading him. Hey, what you're doing is wrong. What you're doing is not right. Stop doing that. And boy, does that not clearly represent that when the lost man comes to the house of God today? I wonder how many times I went to a church, a young man, I come, I hide out in the back seat, you know, and the man of God be preaching about salvation. And boy, all during that time, God was goading me. Hey, you're the one. You're the one that needs to get saved. You're the one that needs Christ as your Savior. You better get saved before. So, man, goading and goading and goading. I remember when I went to Faith Independent Baptist Church. I was invited there by a military man, an Air Force guy. And I remember sitting in the back of that church back there, and Pastor Humphreys preaching the Word of God. And as he preached that Word of God, I mean, I was being goaded all over back there. I mean, I had no comfort and no peace whatsoever. And the first time I went there, I ignored it and walked out. And, man, for the entire week, I was at Eglin Air Force Base. I was there inside those dorms. Every night I was sweating. And my mind, my conscience was being convicted about, hey, what if you were to die today? That preacher is preaching the Word of God. And I had never been to a good Bible preaching church when I was growing up. But I loved a man of God who preached without hesitation and in love. And he preached the Word of God a gum barrel straight. And man, I liked that even as a lost man. But I was being convicted, hey, you're the one he's talking to. You're the one that needs to get saved. And my friend, if you're here this morning, God may be speaking to your heart. I don't know whether you're lost or whether you're saved, but if you're lost this morning, you can come to the house of God and you can sit somewhere and hide. But the fact is, if you're not saved, God may be goading your heart this morning. You're the one that's been lost. You're the one that's been hearing the Word of God being preached or read a tract and been setting it aside and setting it aside. And every time that happens, God is goading your conscience and goading your heart. You have no peace whatsoever. My friend, you listen, you'll never have peace in your life until you submit to God, repent of your sins, and by faith accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. I tell you how many times I go to church, and I was so irritated, I was so afraid. How many times I go to a funeral service and the man of God will be preaching about eternity and about what happens after death. And I was very uncomfortable there because I didn't have Christ as my Savior. I didn't know what's going to happen when I die. I know that there's a heaven and there's a hell, but I don't know where I'm going to go, but I don't have any peace. And I fight it and I fight it and I fight it. And my friend, maybe that's being you. But you got to learn not to keep fighting that thing. Because there may come a time in your life when God will stop goading you and your heart gets too hard. Or maybe God is trying to touch your heart. God is trying to speak to you because your heart is so callous and so hard, you don't feel it anymore. That's why the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. My friend, if you're saved, get saved while you still have the opportunity. Amen? Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. So the Bible says here, he was goading him, if will. It's hard for him to kick against the priest. Then the Bible says in verse 6, and he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? So Paul saw Jesus. He spoke to him. Paul got convicted. And then the Bible says, he said, Lord. The word Lord there means mastery, if you will. What happened? Paul accepted Christ as the Lord and Savior. Amen. Paul got saved. And then as soon as Paul got saved, and thank God he did. And by the way, if God can save someone like Paul, who was the enemy of the people of God, my friend, God can save anybody. Amen. There's nobody beyond God's ability to cleanse from sin. There's nobody beyond God's grace. In fact, just thank God that God used him as an example. Some people may say, Pastor Kevin, I thank God to save me. You don't know my past. But listen. None of us can sit here and say that we're righteous people before we got saved. Everybody here has got things that they've committed in the past that they're absolutely ashamed of. And when they never talk about it at all. But my friend, we've all been there. We've all broken God's law. We've all shamed ourselves and didn't obey God's word. We all lived an unrighteous life and broken all the commandments. But thank God that where sin abounds, grace that's much more abound. Amen? And God saved him. If you're here today and you're lost, my friend, God can save you too. don't leave the building today lost and convicted again and defeated again. Man, today if you lost, come down to the altar at the invitation time and get that thing settled once and forever. Amen. Then the Bible said whenever Paul got saved, the first thing Paul says, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Well, Paul is setting the example for us all. Lord, what would thou have me to do? My friend, wouldn't it be a blessing if every child of God said the same thing when they got saved? Lord, I now am saved. You cleansed my sin. My name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I've passed from darkness unto light. I'm now a child of God, no longer a child of the devil or the world. God, you saved me. I'm so thankful. I'm saved for eternity. Now that I'm saved because I'm thankful, Lord, what will you have me to do? I think today we have a lot of people today that are born again, blood-washed Christian, and a child of God. And they still have no clue today what God wants them to do. Listen, don't ever, ever be afraid to submit your life to God. Don't ever do that. If there's anybody that can put you on the right step and on the right path and a place that where your talents fit and your abilities fit and where God can use you, it is the God of heaven. Amen? There's no greater person on planet Earth to work for other than the God of heaven. Amen? God knows you. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your talents. He knows where He can use you the most. My friend, if you give your life to Him, man, God can do wonderful things in your life. And you can be so much more happier. There, listen, I'm a missionary in the Philippines. I don't make what I made before financially. I'm in a third world country where it's inconvenient and we don't have all the niceties of America, if you will. But my friend, I'm 100% satisfied and I'm happy. Why? Because I'm the center of God's will for my life. When I was in the military, I was miserable. Now, I love the military, don't get me wrong. But whenever I got saved, God was calling me to the mission field. Boy, He was goading me all the time. Every time I saw a video, and I was like, man, Lord, I think I want to do that. Every missionary that came through, I surrendered to many fields every time the missionary came through. I like that. I want to go there. Lord, can you send me, if you will? And I was miserable until I surrendered to God and became a missionary. And now, I'm the most contented man on planet Earth. Say, Brother Kevin, I'll give you a job making $1 million a year in America. Just leave the mission field, come here, get a secular job. I would not take it. Because there's no amount of money that can replace the peace and joy that a man has by being in the center of God's will for his life. Amen? Wouldn't it be a blessing if some young military man or somebody here this morning said, Lord, I don't know what I can do. I'm not very talented. I'm not the most popular person in town. But Lord, here's my life. I'm thankful that you saved me. Lord, I'm willing to go and to do whatever you want me to do. Amen? Don't ever be afraid to do that. So Paul says, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And then, whenever Paul surrenders to serve God, then Paul goes off to Bible college. Every missionary, number one, needs to be saved. Amen? Nobody can be a missionary until he first accepts Jesus Christ as his Savior. Amen? That's so important because a lot of missionaries today are doing everything under the sun other than telling people how to be saved. No man can be a successful missionary or a missionary until he first gets saved. Amen? Number two, he needs to get proper training. Now go to your Bible to the book of Galatians. In the book of Galatians, chapter number 1, verse 15. Here Paul, he gets called, or he gets saved, and then God begins to call him, and then Paul goes off to Bible college. By the way, every missionary needs to get proper training. Amen? Somebody say amen right there. The reason we have a lot of cults around today is because so many people know everything under the sun other than the Word of God. How can a man teach that which he does not know? Amen? So he's got to go and get proper training, whether it be in your local church, whether it be in a seminary, whether it be in a college, like that. You can never properly serve God until you first get proper training. And by the way, Pastor Terry has a school here, and thank God for that. What he's doing is biblical. Amen? And if you think God may be calling you to do something, get into that school, get involved, and learn the Word of God. Amen? So the Bible, go to Galatians. Look at chapter 1, verse 15. The Bible says, But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. Let me stop there for a minute. Paul says, He called me by His grace. Now, Paul was a very intelligent man. He was a Pharisee, was he not? Highly educated, PhD in Old Testament theology. He was someone that taught in the temple. I mean, he was a very intellectual man. But it wasn't because of his intellect that God called him. It wasn't because, in fact, he was a Jew that God called him. God called him because of God's grace. Amen? It had nothing to do with Paul's abilities or inabilities. And that's that way today. We're not missionaries today because we're somebody special. We're not missionaries today because we're somebody that was VIPs in high school. We're not missionaries today because we have more talents and abilities than other people. We're missionaries only because of the grace of God. Amen. Has nothing to do with me. Has nothing to do with Pastor Terry. Has nothing to do with the other men. It's all because of God and because of His mercy and grace in us. Amen. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that God calls the very simple people, the very basic people. Many times that's the one that God calls. So don't ever think that God cannot use you if you was not the one voted to be the most popular or successful in high school. Don't think that God cannot use you because of your background or because of what family you came out of. My friend, if you're saved, God can use you. Amen? And Bob says right here, He called me by, and by the way, He says called. Let me say something. There's so much meat in that. Don't ever be a missionary unless you know God has called you to be a missionary. Don't ever do that. Because we got so many missionaries today that are leaving the mission field. They go because of a need. Well, there's a need everywhere. And some people will talk, well, what about the 1040 window? We got a lot of people here. Nobody's going there, so go. Well, first of all, I don't agree with the 1040 window. God says go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen? Not just the 1040 window. Number two, we don't go where we're going because of a location or number of people or lack of missionaries. We are where we are simply because God has called us there. Amen? It's got nothing to do with statistics about missions. It's only because God has called us there. So if nobody is in the 1040 window, don't get mad at us. Get mad at God. Amen? Because He's the one that places us wherever we are. Amen? So the Bible says here, when He called us by His grace, and then the Bible says, to reveal His Son in me that I might preach Him among the heathen. So whenever God called Paul, by His grace, to be a missionary, the primary calling of Paul was to reveal Jesus Christ as the Savior. Amen? To reveal His Son. We got people today all over the planet that call themselves missionaries and doing everything under the sun other than reaching people with Jesus Christ. I was in the Philippines a few years ago, Pastor Terry, and here come I was out in the island of Palawan. And we was there actually for a missions retreat, and we're staying. We got a nice place right by the beach there, and then right next to that beach was a place where they have an eatery. And so one afternoon, I was walking out there by the beach, and then I walked down the beach a little bit, and there was that little restaurant there, a Nipa Hut, and there was a crowd of German foreigners there. I think they were from Europe. And so I saw them. So I went in there and got a bite to eat, and I sat there and I heard them talking. I said, "Listen," I said, "where are you guys from?" "Oh, we're from Europe." "Well, what are you doing here?" "Oh, we're missionaries." I said, "Really?" I said, "I'm a missionary too. What are you doing here?" "Oh, we're here in the Philippines teaching them. We've been here now for several years, and we're teaching them how to prepare for emergencies and how to purify water and how to dig wells." And that was their whole thing they were doing. Now, nothing wrong with teaching people how to dig wells, as though nobody in the Philippines has ever dug a well in their life. Nothing wrong with people telling people how to purify water, as though the Philippines for the last thousands of years never had any clean water on the islands of the Philippines. But and we teach people how to prepare for hurricanes as though there's never been a hurricane in the Philippines. And so that's what they're doing for 2 years. They're not soul winning. They're not giving out tracts. They're not in a local church. They're just teaching people how to purify water and dig wells. My friend, that is not missions. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. If a man's going to be a missionary, his call of God to be a missionary, his primary focus ought to be reaching people with the Word of God and reaching people with the gospel. Amen. And nothing wrong with a Christian school. We have a Christian school. Nothing wrong with having all these parachurch ministries. But all of that is only secondary to the main thing of preaching the Word of God. Pastor Kevin, we're going to have a Christian school. We can do that. Nothing wrong with that. But the primary focus of the Christian school is to get people, the children, the Word of God in their lives. To teach them the Word of God. So we have a Christian school. We use AC curriculum. God never called me to educate people in academics. That's not my calling as a missionary. My calling is to preach this book to those people in the Philippines. Amen? So the Bible says here, he says, that I might preach them among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, most Bible colleges today, I guess the average is about 3 to 4 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. And so here he's called to preach, and then he goes to Bible college. If you think God has called you to be a missionary, make sure you get proper training in a good school. Amen? Amen? So Paul gets saved, and then Paul gets called to preach. Paul gets proper training, and then Paul goes to the home church of Antioch. I need my first volunteer. And Brother Rob, you're the closest one here. Come up here. You're the pastor of Antioch Baptist Church. Amen. Come on over here. This is my Philippines PowerPoint. Amen. So come on over here. Just stand right there and hold that up. Now go to your Bible to Acts chapter 13. In Acts 13, verse number 1. So here's the church in Antioch. Acts 13, 1, the Bible says, "Now when there was in the church, that was where? Antioch. Certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul," verse 2, "as they ministered to the Lord." So Paul is now in Antioch, the sending church, and while Paul is there at the home church, what is Paul and Barnabas doing? They're ministering to the Lord. Let me say something. No missionary is going to be effective on the mission field if he's not first laboring in his local church. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Every missionary, if you want to serve God, the best way to get started is see that which to do it, that which is active in that or faithful in that which is in least, then also God will promote him later on to that which is much. So therefore, one of the best ways to find out God's will for your life is get into your local church and join in and become faithful and minister in that church. Amen? Whatever open doors is available to do, you go through that door. Say, "God, if you want me to clean toilets, I'll clean the toilets. God, if you want me to go out on a visitation program, I'll go on the visitation program. God, if you want me to head up a Sunday school ministry, I will head up the Sunday school ministry." So get faithful in that which is little and minister there. And whenever God sees your faithfulness in that which is little in your home church, those are the ones that God picks to be missionaries around the world. Amen? If you're a lazy person, God will never call you to be a missionary. Amen? So the Bible says here, he goes there. And it says, "And when they had fasted," it said, I'm sorry, the whole, and then in verse 2, "and they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereinto I have called them." So they're there laboring for the Lord. And by the way, all believers should be laboring for the Lord in a local church. Amen? Everybody should be doing that. So they're there laboring and they're ministering. It means helping. Whatever you want me to do, I'm ministering. I'm helping. Whatever the pastor wants to do, I'm willing to do that. Whatever the need is. So as they're ministering there, being faithful and showing God that they love him, want to serve him, God sees them. And then the Bible says the Holy Ghost spoke unto them. Now many people read that and say, boy, that must have been an amazing time at that time. I mean, if you imagine God thundering out of the heavens, the Holy Ghost said unto Paul and to Barnabas like that. Could you imagine that, you know? A lot of people, that's what they imagine. The thundering voice, the lightning in the clouds, the Holy Ghost spoke. But you know, the same Holy Ghost we have today is the same Holy Ghost that Paul and Barnabas had back in Acts 13. It was no thundering voice coming out of the clouds. It was a still, small voice of the conviction of the heart. You see, as they faithfully attended the house of God and served in the children's soul winning, knocking on doors, cleaning the church, as they did that little by little, the Holy Spirit began to speak to their heart and began to call them. Amen? How many times have I been to church and, boy, saw the missionary preach and God speak to my heart? How many times a pastor preach about missions or soul winning or serving God, and God will little by little, through the Holy Spirit, begin to speak to my heart to give my life to him. So the Bible says it goes there. And then the Bible says, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, the Bible says they sent them away. So the Bible says here that as they went there, God called them, as God does, and that because he saw their faithfulness. And then the Bible says that that church sent them away. Interesting, the word sent there has a very specific meaning. And the word sent there means this. It means to be equipped with substance and with provisions. So what happened was, the idea there is they gave them provisions and gave Paul financial support. They sent them out and took them on for support as their sending church. Amen? And by the way, every missionary should have a sending church. If a missionary does not have a sending church, don't take him on for support. Amen? He should have a sending church. So therefore, they took him on for support, and they financially took him on for support, and then Paul goes off to plant his first church. So they have a seat right there. And then Paul leaves there, and then Paul goes to Philippi. Give me somebody going to Philippi. Brother, over here. Over here. stand next to Brother Rob. All right. So Paul works there, he labors there, and then after he leaves there, he goes now to Philippi. Go to Acts 16. Acts 16, and look, if you will, at verse number 6. Acts 16, verse 6. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, and they said to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing through Mysia, came down to Troas. Verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia. Now, Macedonia is not a city, it is a county, or what we call a province. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over unto Macedonia and help us. And by the way, God used a man to announce the need to call Paul to Macedonia or to Philippi. And whenever God oftentimes does that today, amen? You hear a missionary, you see the need, and God uses that for sometimes to call people to the mission field. When I was in the Philippines, I saw Filipino people, and they said, we need a missionary here, and God used that to call me to that particular area. Amen? God does that many times. Look at verse 10. And when he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel of Christ. So the need being presented by a man was what God used to call them to that place. Look at verse 11. Therefore, loosing from Troas, there was no delay. This is God's will, we're going there. If you're a child of God, don't delay. Amen? Just follow the Lord. As we came into the straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, look at verse 12. And from thence to where? Philippi, which is the chief city of the part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And so therefore, so Paul leaves there, and then because of their support, he was able to financially travel to go to Philippi. He went to a lot of places before he finally got there. Amen? And that's the life of a missionary, man. You travel around a planet. My kids, we've been in I was in the military for 10 years, and then in Bible college for 4 years, and then deputation all around America, you know, for 2 years, and then the Philippines. We've been in three different locations over there. And then when we came home, and my children grew up on the mission field, we came home, and my son was enrolling in Bible college at the West Coast, and they were sitting for me, and he said, Daddy, he said, this questionnaire says, am I American? He says, Daddy, am I American? I said, yes, son, you're American. Put it down there. You're American. You got a passport. But they've been around so much traveling, they don't know where they come from. And so anyway, he travels a lot because of that financial support. He goes to Philippi and he plants a church in Philippi. Amen? Because, hey, come unto us. We need you. And so God used that vision. He goes there and he plants a church. While Paul's in Philippi and plants that church also takes Paul on for support. Let me show you. Go to your Bible, to the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10. Are you awake today? Amen. I got some people fading back there. Stay awake. Amen. All right. The Bible says here, Philippians 4:10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, now that at the last, your care of me hath flourished again. So Paul, when he says your care of me, he means your financial support. So Paul is writing the church right here. He says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly, now that at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you also were careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Now, the word careful means they desired to support Paul, but many times whenever they wanted to support him, they did not have the opportunity being hindered. Nobody take it there. We didn't know where Paul was. But whenever they finally find out where Paul was, they had a fellow go there and send Paul finally his support in Philippi. So Paul thanks them for that. Look at Philippians 4, verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. By the way, when a missionary travels with limited support, it's difficult. It is like being afflicted. It's not easy. People say, well, just trust God. Yeah, you trust God, but God supports them through churches. Amen? If the church does not support them, they get afflicted, and life is hard. I met several missionaries. I met one guy from Bulgaria. He had to come back after only 1 year on the field because of lack of support. The churches dropped him, and he was a good brother. And so it's hard. His family suffered. Took them 6 months to save up money just for a return ticket. So the Bible says here, you didn't communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, that was over here in Antioch, in the beginning of the gospel, He says, when I departed from Macedonia, departed Philippi, the Bible says here, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Wait a minute. I thought Antioch took him on for support. Did they not? And they sent him out. And then later on, Paul goes here, this is about 1,200 miles later, about 2 years after he left there. So when Paul goes here, 2 years later, and plants this church, suddenly that church dropped his support. Now, was Paul a good missionary? Yes, he was. Amen? Was he doing God's will? Yes. But because they dropped the support, he began to be afflicted financially. He was struggling. So thank God, even though they dropped the support, this church took him on. Amen? No church communicated with me as far as giving and receiving, except ye only, whenever Paul left Philippi. Every year, missionaries use, on average, lose about 2 or 3 churches. Brother Terry, I'm sure you experience the same thing. For whatever reason, financial problems, church splits, got a new pastor in that supports a particular mission board, whatever, missionaries lose support. And it's sad because when you're on the mission field, you can't come back every year or every 6 months and regain that lost support. Amen. So therefore, he leaves there. They drop him for whatever reason. Nobody knows. And this church takes him on. Amen. Thank God for churches like Philippi. Amen. Good blessing. All right, have a seat there, brother. So Paul leaves Philippi. And then Paul goes to Thessalonica. Give me a Thessalonica, brother. The missionary of your brother. Come on up here. He's a handsome missionary, amen. I know God will use him. All right, come on over here, brother. Center back there. All right. Paul then goes off to Thessalonica, and God mightily uses Paul there. Go to 1 Thessalonians. Look what the Bible says here. Boy, what a great movement of God there in that place. Great. Paul in his second missionary journey goes to Thessalonica. But, I mean, souls getting saved, people turning from idols. So, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1. Look at verse 5, the Bible says here. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, in that as in the Holy Ghost, and in a much assurance, as you know what manner of men that we were among you for your sake. So Paul, according to Acts 17, he leaves Philippi. He travels for a period of time. He comes to Thessalonica. While Paul is, and then leaves Thessalonica and goes to Corinth, while he's in Corinth, he writes a letter back to here. And whenever Paul was there was a great movement of God. In Acts chapter 17, the Bible says when Paul went there for 3 Sabbath days and preached in the synagogue, there was such a great response that the Jews ran Paul out of the synagogue in Thessalonica. So Paul now goes to homes and begins to preach and plant a church there. And eventually, Paul had to speak out for his life. Then Paul turns that church over to Timothy and Silas. Later on, Paul is in Corinth, and he writes back to that church there and explains what has happened whenever he was there. He writes there, he says, man, there was a great movement of God and people began to get saved. Look at verse number 9 there. In verse number 9, chapter 1, it says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in that we had unto you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And so these people here, man, what a great movement of God. And the Bible says in Acts 17, verses 1 through 5, that the majority of people that got saved in Thessalonica was Greeks and wealthy, widow Jewish women. And so they got saved and joined that church. A great number of Greeks that were worshiping idols and the gods of the skies and the stars and the moons, if you would, and the galaxies. They got saved. And the Bible says they were turned from that dead religion of worshiping idols. And then the Bible says they began to serve the true and living God. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. I mean, it's a great blessing to go to the mission field and see people worshiping idols, praying down to idols in the Catholic Church, giving their tithes and burning candles at the feet of idols, and then they get saved and turn away from the old dead religion of worshiping idols. Amen? What a great joy that is to see that. And so they went there, Paul planted that church, and God bless them. Now, how was Paul able to go to here? Because of their support. How was Paul able to go to here? Because Paul went here, he went there because of their support, and Paul was able to leave and travel to there because of their support. Amen? Amen? Now let me show you a verse in the Bible real quick. Go to your Bible and look, if you will, at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 16. This is an unusual verse, what it says here. Philippians 4:16. Paul says, for even in where? Thessalonica. Who's Paul writing? The church in Philippi. Paul says, for even in Thessalonica, he sent once and again into my necessity. So, Paul was able to go here because of that church once and again sent to Paul's necessity. The Bible records that, does it not? Amen? So you see, Paul is telling us that he was able to do these things because of churches who are supporting him. Amen? All right, have a seat. So Paul leaves Thessalonica. We're almost done. And then Paul goes to the city of Corinth. Now, let's have, I need a very dignified fella. Let's have Brother McDonald. Come on up here. You're a dignified fella. Amen. A dignified infantry soldier. Amen. Come on. Sitting right here. So then Paul goes to the city of Corinth and plants a church there. Now go to 2 Corinthians 11:7. We're almost done. 2 Corinthians 11:7. Here Paul is really mad. And Paul is writing what God told him to write. And Paul is scathing mad and he scorches these people for what he says. Look what he says in 2 Corinthians 11:7. He says, "Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely?" He says, "I robbed of the churches, taking wages of them to do you service." So Paul says, when I went to Corinth, that great metropolitan city of trade and industry, full of wickedness, and had the goddess, the temple dedicated to the goddess Diana, and full of idolatry, wickedness there, and immorality. Well, Paul goes there, and people begin to get saved. But whenever Paul was there, he did not charge them anything to preach the gospel. The only way Paul was able to do that is Paul robbed other churches to preach them the gospel of God freely. Are we mentioned this morning? Amen? So Paul emphasizes, hey, I went there. If anybody could give, if anybody could sacrifice, if anybody could support missions, it ought to be you, the most wealthiest church in the New Testament. But they were so wrapped up on themselves and glorifying their gifts, especially of tongues, that they got their minds off obeying God and loving lost people and supporting missions. It was only inward focus. So whenever Paul was there, Paul rebuked them. If anybody can support missions, you can. And I robbed other churches like Philippi so that you may hear the word of God and get saved. And by the way, whenever Paul was at Thessalonica, Paul was struggling so much that Paul worked another job making tents. He was a tent maker. So while he was there, he had to supplement his income by building tents because he only had one supporting church. So Paul comes here, and he plants a church there, and boy, Paul is skating mad. That means God is skating mad. And God rebukes them. Man, if everybody should support missionaries, it should be you. In the Bible, verse 3 on. Then he says here, "I was chargeable to no man." He says, "I robbed other churches, taking wages of them." And by the way, the Bible uses the terminology wages. Wages is something you receive on an annual, a weekly, or monthly basis. Mission support should not be one time. It should be a weekly, a monthly, or an annual basis. Amen? It should be something they do on a regular basis. Amen, amen. Then the Bible says here, and then it says, "Wages of them, to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted," got no money, "I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from where? Macedonia supplied. And in all things I've kept myself burdensome from you." Who's the people in Macedonia? This church right here in Philippi. Macedonia is a county. Philippi is a town. So while Paul was there, he robbed those brethren so he can plant a church in that town. Now, let me say something. Missionaries do not go in charge for their services on the mission field. Amen? We don't do that. God never made it that way. I was in Angeli City. And brother, you've been there before, Angeli City, near Clark. I was there, and I went downtown, and there was a guy there preaching. I said, hey, there's a guy preaching in the market. He's a Filipino guy. And there's several other people there, and ladies in dresses. So he's out there preaching, and he's preaching the gospel. And whenever he got done preaching the gospel, they all grab up a basket, and they're passing the basket around to lost people to collect an offering from the lost people there in Angeli to support them preaching the gospel to those people. And when I saw that, it saddened my heart. It made us look like we're here for money, and we're not here to preach the word of God to those who are lost. And it shamed the gospel of God. And it shamed the name of missionaries and the name of Christ. My friend, we don't go out and charge people to get out the word of God. Amen? We got people in Texas, like Joel Osteen, I've heard, that goes to places and charge people to come and hear him preach in a big, giant stadium. If he's a true church and a true pastor, why is he charging people to come and hear the word of God preached? Maybe because it's not for the ministry, amen? And so he goes there, and Paul rebukes them, say, hey, man, I robbed these guys so that you, out of all people, may hear the word of God. I mean, Paul was scathing mad. And then lastly, Paul leaves Corinth, and he goes to the regions beyond. Pastor, come up here. We'll have you do this one right here. Go to your Bible. Close out with this. And go to Romans. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If we'll look at verse number 13. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 10:13. He says, "But ye will all not boast of things without our measure, but we will not all boast of things without our measure. But according to the measure of the rule which God has distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors." Now what Paul is saying here, my measure is my area of ministry that God has given me. He says, I cannot go and boast of another man's measure. Some missionaries will come through and say, "Hey, God blessed me in the last 4 years to plant 35 churches. Amen, amen." And many times those churches were not planted by that missionary. So they're boasting of other man's ministry that's beyond their measure. Make sure your missionaries are honest. Amen. One time a missionary came through at a missions conference, a Filipino. He says, "Hey, God has blessed me to plant like, 10 or 15 churches." And he's showing the churches on the slide. And everybody said, "Amen, amen." And then one of the pictures he showed was a church my wife came out of. My wife said he's never one time stepped foot in that church. So he's boasting of another man's measure. Amen. Make sure your missionaries are honest in their reporting and their prayer letters. Amen? Amen. And then the Bible says this. Look at verse number, it says 15. "Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope." What is Paul's hope? "When your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly." Verse 16. "To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you." So here's what Paul is saying. Paul said, "Hey, I went here, it took me on, thank God for that, but they dropped me. Thank God when I came here, it took me on for support. And this church right here, through the entire mission time of Apostle Paul, that church faithfully supported Paul." Paul goes to Thessalonica, and Paul was struggling so much financially that Paul had to become a tent maker. That was his trade, and work that there, and do ministry there because of this church right here. They got saved, but nothing for missions whatsoever. They just say, "Hey, thank you for saving us, Paul. God bless you. Bye-bye." And not one time did this church ever take on missions. They went to Corinth. This church right here a year ago said, "Hey, man, we like missionaries, Paul. We'll take you on for support. We'll make a faith promise commitment." But a year later, they made the promise, but nobody in that church ever supported missions. They made the promise, faith promise commitment, but they never supported him. That's why Paul came and said, "Hey, a year ago you guys made a promise. Well, where's it at?" And then Paul goes to the regions beyond. And Paul says, "Hey, I want to go to other places, but I cannot go there unless your faith is increased." What does it mean by faith being increased? It means by your giving to missions increase. Amen? So that other people and other missionaries can go to other fields and reach those people that do not know Christ as Savior. Everybody stand up. In closing, let me say this. These people here tonight, this morning, represent somebody this morning in this church. You guys can have a seat. These guys over here. There's somebody in the church right here. You used to give the missions faithfully. God burdened your heart. A missionary came through to have faith promise. And for a period of time, you supported missions. But something happened and you stopped. It might have been a financial burden. It might have been a need in the family. Maybe you wanted to buy something new for your house, whatever. But you supported for a time, but something happened and you stopped. There are some people like Philippi. You've been supporting missions faithfully from the very beginning. And sometimes you're actually tight. Sometimes you struggle. Sometimes you cannot get your wife something nicer. Sometimes you can't get a new car. But you've been struggling and obeying God. And my friend, thank you and God bless you. You're doing exactly what God wants you to do. Amen. Don't get discouraged. Don't get worldly. You keep doing the right thing and God shall reward you in the end. Amen. There are some people that got saved. God delivered them from idols. God saved their family. And time and time again, you tell them, "Hey, man, God saved us. And we're now serving the true and living God." And you go soul winning locally, like Macedonia. But not one time have you ever given to missions one time. "Hey, I don't got no money. That's not for me. That's for all the rich people inside the church. Thank God for saving me. Thank God the pastor came by to preach the gospel. Thank God the missionary came through. Praise the Lord, I'm saved." But got no burden for missions and don't do nothing whatsoever. And there's some people over here, like the Corinthians, Man, you, if anybody can give, you can give. I mean, you guys bless you financially. And God's not blessed you so that you can take the money and buy something nicer or another third or fourth car or have buy expensive things. God has blessed you because He wants you to give and support missionaries and use your blessings not for yourself, but for worldwide evangelization. Amen? Amen? And lastly, this guy over here, Pastor, there's some people for year after year, you've been giving the same amount. The same amount. You got a little budget, though, I'll give $50, that's it. Thank you. You put it in there. It's been happening year after year after year. And God has blessed you. God supplied your needs. God's blessed your family. God has answered prayer. And maybe today what God is telling you, how about increasing your faith? I mean, it's been a long time. And God has blessed you. Learn to have a budget. Stop wasting your money. And increase your faith so that these missionaries that are coming through can go to the regions beyond where you do not have a missionary at this time. Amen. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Pastor, I'll give it to you.